And welcome back, everybody, to Belt Kings Radio Presents Champions, episode 10. Was a little bit delayed, but people, I promise you, you're about to get paid right now with this title, people. Though, listen, we are sorry we was not here last week. I apologize. The real world hit us back. I had to go to my real number one job, so I had to delay a week. But we are here today. As always, I am your host, Mike Knox. I am joined by always my kicks are my fix. What's going on, nephew Corey from the Wrestling
World? What's going on? What's going on, man?
I'm excited. And people ask me what happened last week. Because no shows we did, I put out last week. And I said, you know, I love Around the Blocks, but I can't wait to get back to Champions. I had my one friend call me actually today from Atlanta. My best friend actually goes, I'm on YouTube. I don't see episode 10. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm focusing on Belt Kings. You'll see we got the logo out there, right? Hopefully the t-shirts will be coming to you soon. I love this show because I love title belts, Corey. And we left off with episode 9 during the United States Championship. We're in the month of July, America's independent. So we chose that month to pick the United States title. We went with the original one from the NWA, right? Well, not the original, but that 85 to 91, you know, that pretty much puts you the Lex Luger U.S.
The
title.
Lex Luger champion, pretty much.
But then it brings us forward to the one that everybody loves. I didn't know everybody loved this much, Corey, until the new belt came out. I have to be honest, we're going to talk about, I'm sorry, y'all see there's a space missing on the wall. Corey ain't the only one who got belts, people.
There you go.
My original, and we've talked about for the belt collectors, and I'm going to show you this on purpose, my leather is worn, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, but this is the first brand copy of this United States title, first given to, may he rest in peace, Viva La Raza, Eddie Guerrero title. Mm-hmm. Okay, I literally got this belt from Figures Toys Company. All right, see it right here. When I tell you guys back then, you couldn't always get belts on WWE.com. They didn't have them then. Okay, they came at later that year, they begin to get them, but early on getting titles, you had this one. And I remember seeing this belt, Corey. We talked about this belt leading up to this show and why I love the television title so much from the NWA with Arn Anderson. It was the color and the belt. So WWE historically, before this title, didn't have color in their belts. There wasn't the purple strap of the Intercontinental belt that we've spoken about.
Right.
It wasn't the backstrap of, you know, some other titles. It just, they didn't have color primarily in their belts. Right. And people say, what color, Mike Knox? Well, they have the flag.
Yeah.
All right now. And there's two renditions of this title. Okay. This belt itself went from 03 to 14.
Yeah.
And then in 14 to now, which switched in 14, was you see here what do you call it, E, from New York? Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
The newer ones have the blue background that makes the Statue of Liberty stand out even more. Okay? So actually on all four of their plates, they have the blue background that makes them stand out. Okay? Now, this is not a WWF, but this is not also the current WWE logo. This is right. This is when you. This was to get the F out logo belt, Corey. Go ahead.
No, that's why I was kind of alluding to earlier, because I knew which version you had. A lot of people don't realize, well, man, and some do that do collect belts. That one, the scratch logo one, is the more sought after of the two. I don't know if you know that.
That's the one
that people go after. That's the belt that people go after. One is because of that fifth property plate that you have on there.
Okay.
And also because That's the version of the belt most closely associated with the better champions of the people that had the belt. That property plate right there, that's something that the collectors go after on their belts that come stock from Figures Incorporated. And like I said, the champions that people associate or remember the belt of the greater champions have the scratch logo as opposed to the network logo. So that one, now that there's a new United States championship.
Love that drip.
Dipset.
Then you know that's that eagle from Joel Santana. I know you saw that meme already where they took Joel Santana's dip sign out, put the belt, put the U.S. title on there. But that meme's floating around. But I love that new belt. And truth be told, it's probably my favorite looking belt I think this company has come out with in a while. And I, and here it is. And I think, and you're a collector, and people are listening, I hope you become collectors. If not, we're here to help you along the way. All right? Because we're collectors. Help me if I'm wrong here, okay? Or stop me if I'm wrong, if you will, so to speak. The newer titles, these designs are insane. From your women's tag title to the Intercontinental title they just came out with to now this U.S. title. These titles are next level titles, Corey. Going to this new U.S. title. And correct me if I'm wrong again. It has to be the first 3D lettering on a title that stands out.
Yeah, not a well. There is well the women's tag team has a little bit of 3D lettering,
but because it has to, when it says tag team.
Yeah, it, right. But so it doesn't. That wouldn't be first. None of them stand out like this one does.
Okay,
you're exactly right. None of them stand out like this one. And we've talked about it, I think, on a previous show too. A lot of the reasons why that they do this is because it makes it harder for someone to get accustomed of it. Like, if you pretty much want the most detailed or closest to the actual championship, you've got to buy the replica from WWE.
I'm glad you brought that up. So, and I want to give this guy a shout out. I'm sorry for not talking to the microphone. I'm sorry for looking into my phone right now. Corey, it's a guy on Instagram. Quite sure we both follow him. I know I'm going to jack the name up, and I don't want to do that. Hey, there's your uncle. Happy birthday, Jeff Jarrett. I always remember somebody's wrestler's birthday from Dr. D from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. That man has had a picture with every wrestler who has a birthday. I promise you. Okay? Shout out to Dr. D. Checking out. I think it's – you say his name. Oh, it's right here. First one that came up. Park. Is that Park Beltmania?
It's the Parker belts. I know exactly who that is.
His customs of the customs is if you're looking for next level, okay, guys. He's on Instagram, and that's Parker Belt Mania, just like it sounds. Parker Belt Mania. I love his designs. Now I love this new U.S. title. I do. I will buy it from the company, maybe. And I say that because the Parker Belt Manias are so nice. His design has, well, we talked about how my previous one here, I'll show it to you again, how this one doesn't have the blue background in it. On the new U.S. title, where the stars come out, it's just the gold background. He put the blue background on it, and it looks insane. Okay, people? So hopefully... Actually, I know a couple of people in my couple of belt groups already have that belt, got their belts today, actually, of that U.S. title.
Well, here's the thing. It's interesting how WWE does that, because stuff will say, you know, it's on pre-order or something like that. But a lot of times that stuff is in stock. Yeah. So if you ordered one that night, like, because people got to understand, lately, the last couple of years that they've debuted a new belt, that belt has gone up almost within 2 minutes of it showing on TV. So that belt was up within 2 minutes of it showing on TV.
Facts.
MVP pulled that cover off of it. That belt was up on WWE Shop. So if you ordered it right then and there, especially if you ended up putting expedited shipping or something on it, your belt by, what was that? That was a Monday.
It was last Monday. So
most people had their belt by that Thursday.
Yeah, like, by like last day. But then that first weekend, the belt coming out. So Monday, I saw people that first weekend, which was last weekend, with that title. Okay. And like you said, and I was hip to that for the first time, to be honest with you guys out there. Again, why I love this show. I saw that belt. And someone said, let me go to www.shop.com. I want that. And it was right there. As soon as I saw it, it was right there. And to see people with it, people who jumped on it, much respect to you. Now, the other side is that people choose, and I'm in a lot of wrestling groups. I realize that some of them I have to get out of. I'm sorry. Some of you groups, I don't even know why. I'm nothing against your group. I'm just in too many of them that I'm not active in, okay? But I saw a lot of polls go up, and a lot of polls still chose the Eddie Guerrero, the one I have here, the five plate with the property on it, with the get the F out from you know, Figures Toys Company logo over the new one. So let's talk about this one here in episode 10. One of the reasons why I love this belt, hey, like I said, the color. This has to be the lightest belt that was, that I would say a WWE belt at that time. This belt was as light as, say, the WCW's, was the light heavyweight or cruiserweight title. That belt's really small, very thin. This belt is the same thing. Originally made, as I told you guys, who made this belt?
I want to say this belt, that belt originally, because I looked it up, and that, the ones I kept seeing, I think that might be a J-Mar belt also.
Okay.
That might be a J-Mar, because most of those for that era, for that brief period of time, were coming from J-Mar. I do believe that's a J-Mar belt as well.
Corey, you know, I've had this belt since 2003. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I'm actually really staring at this thing, where I see that it has champion stitched into the leather. Throughout the round of the belt on the outside.
So what's funny, those those Figures Incorporated WWE replicas, up until maybe about maybe 2006, 7, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
They all, and this was true for the WWE belts on TV as well. They were not the typical clamshell oyster, you know, clamshell tooling that you see on the older belts. They had the WWF logo or WWE logo going around the belt. So that, if I'm not mistaken, the leather on that, it says WWE champion on it.
Yeah,
right?
Throughout the whole thing. Yeah.
So with that's the, what... Mm-hmm,
that's what, I was going to say with that, with the F out logo also. It's very... Now, let me ask you this question, or if you know it, and again, we learn things in this on this show. You can see all this show and all past shows right here below. You see all the information. But those who are listening, please go to, you know, wherever your podcasts are, they're there, okay? Instagram, Belt Kings. My strap, right? Now, these kids, somebody asked me, I got over the last 2 days, I've been asked, do I trust any custom guys? So I gave him who I thought. Anybody, all you guys out there who listen right now, I'm a big AJS belt fan. I don't have a Parker belt mania, a Parker belt. I don't have one, but I've seen them. I would recommend them. That's just off my vision alone. I love his work. Okay. But say if I wanted to get the strap over, and somebody said, same thing, they said, Mike, I love your, you got a lot of old straps too. Corey mentioned before about respecting them because of the age. People know, collectors know you had them, but what if you still want to replace them? Now you just posed the question, can I get that strap over? And a replacement, because that's an older strap.
It's gonna cost you. I'm not even gonna you because those belts. Here's the thing,
you have, I just need the strap. I have the plate.
Yeah. Here's the thing, you'd have to find somebody that basically has had their belt re-leathered and still has stock strap.
Wow.
That you would have to find, because people do sell their stock straps. I'm not saying, but something like that one.
Right.
Belt that's the rare of the belt, it's gonna cost you. And the reason why that one is so rare is because a lot of people don't get it re-leathered.
Okay.
So it's gonna be hard to find that particular championship.
I love it.
Where you're gonna have somebody that has a stock strap. If you notice, if you get a chance, if you look at your Undisputed Championship back there, it also has the WWE champion going. Yeah,
that one I noticed. I don't know why. I guess I just I may have looked at it, but just never paid attention to it as much as
all
I am
of the belts
now.
Around that time when they first switched over to from WWF to WWE with the scratch logo.
Yeah.
All of those belts at that time with the straps, they do have WWE champion.
Beautiful. Beautiful beam footage. I couldn't go a show without saying that. Okay. Beautiful beam footage on this belt, on this title. And little story, right? We have our we have our titles. Funny story beside the stories. I remember one of the times I met Corey, and those who collect belts, we figure way when you go, you got to figure out ways how to wear them. Right. And you remember Corey, man, you copy off me? He was like, man, I've been wearing my belts like this. And so, but I will say this. I believe in my heart of hearts, Eminem, okay, that's Mercury and Morris, did take their style from me, Corey.
Yeah, okay.
Now remember when we first met, how we had our belts. Mm-hmm. This is the only belt that's light to me.
Right.
So the best place I could always hang this belt was on my real belt buckle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would always wear it, you know, in my crotch. This was before they were doing it. And I remember going to a house show in Delaware with all the belts, because, you know, you got to show your belts when they come to your town. And Delaware is very small. They don't ever hardly come there. At least back in the day, they did a lot for, you know, when it was, you know, Raw as War stuff. But, and I seen that, and I never forget, because I remember Teddy Long was like, man, y'all got a lot of belts here. What's going on? And I was like, I was just, you know, I was doing stupid stuff. You know, you're very humble. I'm very like, yeah, let's go, baby. Right? So I'm doing all that stuff. And then Eminem, that next Monday, I saw them wearing their belts like that down there in their crotch area.
Fair enough. I did.
That's my little story. And it's also my proof is it was on Sunday Night Heat when the Royal Rumble, was that 03? That might have been 03. Royal Rumble, where I think that's Ben. What good was that? Was Michaels and Triple H's? Okay, 04. Yep, I was on Sunday Night Heat that Sunday. I was like, yeah, it's my first time on TV. But let's get into this belt, guys. We talked about it. You know where to get it. Let's talk about the people that had it. Do you know 35 people had that belt?
Well, before you even go that far.
Uh huh.
Go that far, I do want to share something with that particular type. Well, not that one, but the network one. If people were able to catch it when it went on sale, because it went on sale like a day or two ago.
Hold on. This one. Yes. It went on sale for $160.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's gone.
So, it was $160. I should have bought a second one.
Yeah. You know what? You probably should at that price. You probably should have.
I looked right at it and said, he got one, yeah, and that's the one I wanted. I wasn't paying attention because that's the newer one with the blue in the background, and it's a bigger front plate.
Yep, I was about to say that.
It's a bigger front. This is the very tiny one, and I told you guys that it's very small and tiny. Like, come on, I can get it to my kid, and you'll think it's an adult replica for him. You know what I mean? That's how small it is for adults.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Corey, because that one does have the bigger plate on.
Yep, it does have the bigger plates. And it was like I said, it was just, and this particular replica has the thicker plates as well. Of course, virtually all the belts back then were the 2 millimeter flatter plates. This one is the 4 millimeters on all, you know, so it's the thicker plates. I believe if I pull it up right quick, actually, I still have right here, that front plate is not 9 inches by 9 inches on that main plate. No, that one is not. That one's probably 8x7 or something.
Yes, this one, the one I have is an 8x7.
Yeah, I know it's smaller, but the one they have now, I mean, it's, and you can even see it on TV as
the difference. Yeah, Apollo Crew has it. You can clearly see the size difference.
Yeah, and when Andrade had it, like, it's a bigger belt. And I always thought, I was like, man, that was a belt they always should have made a little bigger. And I always thought it was... I always thought it was weird that belt was made small.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they only did, and I, you know, years later I think about it, I wonder if they did that because of generally the size of the guys they were going to have go after.
We're getting bigger.
Well, the guys were small.
In the beginning, yes.
The guys were smaller.
Yeah.
Eddie, Benoit, you know.
Benoit had a lot of runs with that belt. Only one really big had it was Big Show, which we know Cena took, which then brought us the spinner that you see right here that only Cena had. So it's a belt that we won't talk about for a second.
That spinner, Orlando Jordan had that belt.
He did. I apologize. But mostly, that's a belt we won't talk about. We could probably talk about it sometime in the show. It's a great title. Cena had it. I loved it. You know,
we would have to get into that belt at some point, collecting purposes. That's why I like to talk about that.
Okay, right, and just take away from the matches and things like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Anytime, special show, special preview show, just for that belt.
We can fit that in a show, like
it'd
be long.
Yeah,
but it's just, I know I have to touch on that belt because of the significance in the belt.
How famous it is!
That belt.
People watch our show, listen to our show, and the first thing they go is, yo, what's up with the spinner? What's up with your spinner? What's up with your spinner? I'm just like,
yeah.
You know, and again, I've collected this belt. I got that belt in what, 04? I got that title live in Philadelphia, and it don't even spin anymore by itself. The way the knot was, I didn't get it fixed. You know, I tell people too, I don't always go to the big, I can fix it myself. I fix it myself. And I saw it was a little screw. I put a screw in the back of the thing myself, and now it spins, but I have to like grab John Cena's learning words on it and turn it.
Well, you know what? Since we're already talking about it, doesn't this belt, we might as well just go ahead and touch
it. Just get it out the way.
Yeah, just get it out the way. So
it's not getting off the wall.
No. You don't have to know. But that belt is so rare in the sense of it was only sold for maybe a year, as far as it could. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was only around for a year, if you think about it.
True.
Not even a year. It was only around for maybe about 6 months or so.
I saw it too long ago. It was being resold. Okay.
It is a possibility it could come back.
Okay.
But as
if they're smart, they're going to bring it back.
I think everything is coming back eventually.
Yeah.
But that belt in particular, among the belt collecting community, that's one of the rarities that it's not necessarily a grail for somebody. Like, oh, this is the championship I have to have.
Right.
In a true collection.
Yeah.
Belt a lot of people say they have to have just because of the rarity of the belt.
I will tell you why I had to have that belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've heard this story, but those who haven't, you know, being there, you go, you know how you are, you're in an event, they see you, you have titles. Hey, you guys, come here. You know what I mean? Wasn't even open yet. Brought it there. This is the day they sold this belt for the first time. WWE, this is probably when it might be the first belt that they officially sold. If I'm not mistaken, Corey, you know, as far as not going from Wrestling Superstore, but to WWE Shop to get a belt, I think this might be one of the first ones they sold. And on the back of the belt, I might actually have to another show you again. It actually has like my Kobe Bryant 2010 NBA 2K. It's number 4485 out of 5,000. That was out of 300 that they sold.
and I have to look at mine because I could very well have the same number and I don't even know it.
So if you're in that number, those again the exclusive ones not being sold that long.
Yeah. So that's the thing is that belt, because its shelf life was so minimal, that belt was not available for sale that long. And when it was gone, it was gone. And it never resurfaced. That belt is actually, and it's so funny, you mentioned the spinning and how it spins. So that one wasn't, as opposed to the World Championship spinner belt.
Right there.
It wasn't as free spinning as that
one. No, no.
This one actually has a trigger or like a magnet.
Yeah, a magnet that brings it back to always being upright same, at the right place. Where like you said, the freewheeling of the world title, it can be anywhere. That's why I love the Miz's title so much, because he would turn it upside down like Mike Miz.
Well,
I loved it.
Well, what's funny, you can actually, and you know, we'll mention it again whenever we talk about that particular championship. For a while, and I think they still do, you can buy the screw that locks it in place.
For the world title?
Yes. Okay. There is a screw available that you can buy that will lock it in place. I've seen people put cardboard in it to lock it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No,
yeah.
I mean,
no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you can do it to where it'll stay. I mean, but you can buy a screw that keeps it. But anyway, back to the spinning United States Championship, and we'll wrap it up on that. Like I said, it's the rarity of that belt and the, I guess, gimmick of it as far as it being a spinning deal and stuff like that. It makes it a collector's item. And it's so funny because you always hear about the hate for the spinner, for the world championship spinner.
Yeah.
That might be probably top three, if not their top selling title, like ever of
running. Wow. Okay.
Because of who Cena was in the novelty of that championship. And it was, and plus you double it with the fact that for 8 years, 05 through 13, for 8 years, it was the world championship, period.
Yeah.
End of discussion. They changed it from when Cena, and that's a, to me, that's a testament to Cena.
Yeah. who gets no credit. No credit. The most reigns with this title, by the way, five.
And they never changed it from that being the world championship. No. It's around for 8 years. So it's just commodities of those gimmick belts like that. And I say gimmick, not in a bad way, but gimmick, there's something to that belt.
Well, it's a storyline belt, bro. Wrestling is storyline. That belt has a lot of storyline with that spinner belt. Kudos to John Cena for it. I loved it. You know, SmackDown came over at the end of the show and Cena's with it, with that belt, and, you know, put it on TV. That belt is just, I love that spinner belt so much. I would never get rid of it. I actually would buy a wrist spinner belt. I know they have them. I know people have them. I know a lot of belt wrist collector fans out there too. So not forgetting you guys out there. You are belt kings if you have more than four. You can't have one belt and be a belt king. You got to have five. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Hey, LeBron, I'm like, Mike, you got to have five or more to be a belt king, according to me. But Corey's just gets one. Put yourself up there. But again, these U.S. titles and – what they were, and I don't know how Corey put it, and what it represented, the people that had it represented it. This became the new workhorse.
Yeah, it did.
It became the new workhorse belt. Like I said, Eddie Guerrero had it first. Eddie had it, lost it.
Well, you know what else attributes to that, Mike?
What's that?
That with that new workhorse thing that you put like perfectly was the fact that when that belt debuted, even though they'll never fully admit it, SmackDown was the better show.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
SmackDown was the better show for a minute.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah, it was.
It was.
So that belt being on there with who was carrying it, like you were saying, it made that belt important. So, yeah, no, SmackDown was the better show. And it's so funny. It's so funny. I also say this. Remember, the Intercontinental Championship went away for a while, and then they brought it back.
Yeah.
U.S. title never went away.
No. And like you said, since 03 when Stephanie brought it in, it's been a stablemate, and it's been it's been quietly, like I said, the workhorse title. The people has had this belt, 35 people. I'm not going to name all 35, but the name of few. You've already said earlier, Chris Benoit, okay? Kofi Kingston. People forget the gold standard Shelton Benjamin with this title. MVP tells you every week now, it's not about the hurt business, because he's into the business, which was how to be a U.S. champion, Montavious, you know, MVP Porter himself. Booker T, when he was King Booker, I love King Booker, had this belt as well. We've already said, you know what? I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool, had this title, okay? Yep. Let's not mention how the entire Shield had the title, okay? Which I arguably tell people all the time, I think it's one of the greatest factions of all time. You can go, you can debate me all you want to. They are our top two, three faction of all time. Point blank, simple, is the Shield. Okay?
I won't say three, but okay.
Top three. If we had a Mount Rushmore of it, it'd be in a top four, Skip. It'd be in a top four. If we had a Mount Rushmore.
We're digressing, but you mentioned it. I'll say it right now. Top four for factions, DX, NWO, four, Heart Foundation.
All right, you know what? No, I got to say, I would take the Heart Foundation out.
Put Evolution?
I would put the Shield.
Really?
I would put the Shield. See, I don't mean to digress. I would put the Shield because I value, although they do not
actually. You know what? In the long,
and rivalries in the Evolution had nobody to battle.
If you're saying that about the Shield, in the long run, you know who's going to be up there? The New Day.
Absolutely.
They're going to be on there. They're going to be on there.
They've already surpassed the Freebirds. Already.
They've never broken up.
Never.
They've never broken up.
And I even love the work that Cesaro said about them. You know what I'm saying? And it helps solidify who they are, that they've done it this way, their way, not what we thought it was going to be, but their way for so long. And we'll get to those tag team belts too one day.
Yeah,
but Booker T, we had a couple vacants with this title. Okay, yeah. Chris Benoit, JBL, Bobby Lashley, Finley, Mr. Kennedy.
Yep.
They dropped the ball. He should have been Vince's son. He should have been Vince's son.
But he got suspended at that time, if I'm not mistaken. So
my gamer tag is the game V1. Because Matt Hardy, version one, made this belt cool again. Well, it was already cool, but man, he looked good having his belt in his hand. I love when Matt Hardy had that belt again. Kofi Kingston, your guy, The Miz, yep. You know, R-Truth had his belt. Daniel Bryan, Sheamus was a great United States champion. Rusev, a great United States champion. Dolph Ziggler, a great United States champion. The list continues, Corey. Give me, not yet, too soon, too many, let it fester. I'm going to give you my favorite match of the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Eddie Guerrero versus John Cena street fight. It wasn't even a street fight. I apologize. Okay. The fight in the parking lot.
Okay.
It's the fact they had these cars. People out there in these cars. Okay. And this fight, this is when they were coming out. You know, Ruthless Aggression to me is the greatest era. It's this time to me. And it was Eddie Guerrero can do anything. John Cena can do anything, okay? I'm not afraid to admit I'm a Cena mark, okay? Mm-hmm. When you were at WrestleMania with me, my dumb ass was cheering for The Rock. I mean, was cheering for John Cena. That's all I'm saying, people. That's how stupid I was that day, all right? I was the only person I knew cheering for him, but I believe everything that Cena had said about The Rock in that time. And let's these people. When The Rock left, it broke my heart. Just like when CM Punk left, it broke my heart. So when he broke my heart, I wasn't the guy who was talking trash about him, okay? That's all I'm going to say. But
you're the worst.
I give up on you quick. I love Phil Brooks, the man, but CM Punk, I don't like you. You quit on me, right? But that match with Eddie Guerrero and John Cena, I absolutely fell in love with that match. And I thought it was so, so, so good. It's one of the most memorable matches for me for that title. I'm trying to think of some other matches that I had in my mind. Any matches come to mind for you for this U.S. title?
Oh, yeah, easily. The very first to crown it, Eddie versus Benoit, Vengeance 03. The very first one. That one was a super classic.
Yes.
Honestly, John Cena versus Big Show that opened
WrestleMania? Okay.
Yeah, WrestleMania 20, yeah. It goes beyond necessarily, because a lot of people will be like, oh, that match wasn't that good. It goes beyond the technicality, I mean, the technical work of that match. The story that was being told, the atmosphere of having, because you could tell then for Cena to open the show, Cena was the first talent out of the curtain.
Yeah.
That's a big deal at WrestleMania when you do it like that.
For 20. To
champion. Yeah. John Cena, you knew then, okay, this guy's about to be around for a long time. And the way they did that match and the way it came off and with the ending of how they did the ending with, you know, him faking out with the chain and using the Nux and then doing the FU on the Big Show in Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania. It's, you have to sometimes look at the bigger picture of what the symbolism of a match does as to why it may be a really good match. That's one of them. That's a really good match for it. Daniel Bryan and The Miz, when Daniel Bryan won it. Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler at TLC in Baltimore.
Yes.
11.
You were there?
Another good, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That was another good one. And the thing is, that match, I think they dropped the ball on in a sense. They should have did it a month earlier. They should have did it at Survivor Series in New York City. For the life of me, I don't know why they didn't do that there, where Zack Ryder was at his highest. And they would, and people forget, after the show, Rock acknowledged it. He was like, yeah, you know, Zack Ryder, like he acknowledged because the fans were like, he got the biggest pop of the night just for a run-in.
Yeah.
That, so I think they dropped the ball and that match could have been huge at Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden. But nonetheless, the next month, it was still just as good. So what was the other one? Not necessarily a good match, but just for the fact that they actually did it. Bret Hart and The Miz. Bret Hart won.
Yeah.
It was like, you were like, whoa, wait a minute, really? and then Miz gets it back. But still, it's like, come on, like, so yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that stands out with that championship.
Dean Ambrose is 351 days as champion. Yeah. Deserving? Because a lot of people hated the fact, and it always points out the fact, and I brought this up for this fact, is that we look at guys like Honky Tonk Man. We put him in your, you put him in your Mount Rushmore because of the length of him holding the title. Mm-hmm. So how do you
I think for what him? It was, yeah, okay. I know where you're going. Okay. So Honky, I'm going to explain this. Honky Tonk Man, for the time period he was in, the character he was, and the reign that he had, that made it special.
Yes.
Dean Ambrose in the era he was in, championships were defended and people fought literally every week. You weren't having that exposure with Honky Tonk Man fighting top talent every week. It just wasn't happening like that.
I think Dean had like tell me 10 titles matches. Yeah. During that year. And that's where people were. And I'm like, well, you look at Honky Tonk, just going back to your little painted little picture, that's roughly the same, you know, 10 times in a year. That's actually a lot of title defenses.
Yeah, for you know, with the kayfabe every 30 days thing. Yeah, that's
but, so, that's all I still care about sometimes. Just defend every 30 days. I don't care.
But I think Ambrose, because the focal point wasn't him being the United States champion.
Right.
I think is what, in a lot of people's opinion, hurts his validity of his reign, because it was pretty much Dean Ambrose is the United States champion, but it's really about the Shield as a collective. It was never really about Dean Ambrose being the United States champion. He had defenses because they wanted to make sure you remembered that he was the champion.
Right.
Realistically, with everything going on with the Shield, it was just more so, it was almost, and you don't want to blame it on this, but you could almost point a finger at possible, they didn't have anything for the U.S. title, which is weird as it sounds.
Yeah.
They maybe just didn't have anything for the championship, to where they felt Dean Ambrose was credible enough to just leave it on him, because he has the Shield behind him, so he'll win matches.
And regardless, so, right.
And the thing is, he didn't even lose. And if you go to how he didn't even lose it by being pinned.
No, he was in a Battle Royal, wasn't
it? Battle Royal, yeah. Sheamus won it. Yeah. I think Sheamus won it in the Battle Royal. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, you kind of look at it and you're like, well, I mean, okay. I mean, I guess, which more so to me lends to the fact that the Shield was the bigger focal point.
Yeah.
Being the United States champion, because you never thought of the Shield as, even with Dean Ambrose being United States champion, you never thought of him as the head man or the point man.
No.
Shield.
No. To me, Dean having that belt, how he, you know, we talk about, or I refer to a lot of caring for the title. Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't defend it a lot, he always still carried that thing like he cared about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And people would be like, well, no, he doesn't. He throws the belt before he gets in the ring. Like, that was Dean's character. That was his thing. That wasn't disrespect for the belt. It was, man, come on. I'm going to beat your butt so bad. Get this belt in my hand and I'll pick it back up afterwards. It was that kind of a, you know, that was what Dean was. And it was in that moment I became a big Dean Ambrose fan. Okay? Mm-hmm. I had, you know, I'm a Dean Ambrose guy. And everybody had I'm a Paul Heyman guy shirt. I'm like, I'm a Dean Ambrose guy. That's why I'm still a John Moxley guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just am. And what I'm looking here, looking this up, and it threw me off a little bit. Or not throw me off, but it surprised me that Rusev won that belt at a bonus match that aired on Raw Backstage Pass on WWE Network.
Well, you got to remember, at that time, that's how they were trying to push the fact that you need to watch the show.
Okay.
That's how they were trying to push the show's value, was having stuff. Because remember, as low rate and as, you know, I guess curtain, and it's bad to say that, but you know what the WWE superstar show is.
Right.
Basically all of the, you know, earlier before they tape Raw. But that first episode of WWE Superstars, when it first aired, I think the main event was The Undertaker against Matt Hardy.
Yeah, you're right. It was.
It's like they throw matches on there.
You have to give your reason to watch.
Give your reason to watch.
That's why I stopped pooping on pre-show matches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I used to, in the beginning, I used to always be like, oh, why? To me, it depends on the match you put on the pre-show. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't put a significant match. Like, I didn't like them putting Jeff Hardy and Sheamus on that pre-show a couple weeks back for the pay-per-view. I thought all the hype for Jeff put that match on the pay-per-view, so I was going to took that slot. Not taking from the pre-show, because people say, why you watch pre-show? Because the pre-show are free for a lot of people. That gets you hyped for it. If you see a decent match on the pre-show, maybe I'll buy the card, right? Or the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. or get the network, okay, or subscribe. I love this belt. I think it's an easy Mount Rushmore for me. Okay. I go Eddie Guerrero. Mm-hmm. I go John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
I go the gold standard, Shelton Benjamin. And I go, who we haven't talked about, Kofi Kingston. I think those are the best four. And I know Kofi's run was only like 100 and something days. But Cena's several runs with this title, okay, including the John Cena Invitationals, led to a lot of good things in wrestling, okay? Mm-hmm. Eddie Guerrero being champion, it just said a lot. It was propelling him. He worked that title like no one else has done before. I think always say, and you've heard the saying, I don't always say, but people say, the title sometimes makes the wrestler, and sometimes the wrestler makes the title. I think the title being on Shelton Benjamin propelled him outside of that team angle persona. It gave you a chance to see everything that he could do, right? And then Kofi Kingston having his belt, I mean, I just thought the matches that he had at this point was so good. And on the outside looking in, I would definitely go Carlito and then probably Dolph Ziggler. That would be my rounded out if I had to add two. And I know we haven't done that before adding the two, but that's my Mount Rushmore there, Corey. I'm going Eddie Guerrero, John Cena, the gold standard, and Shelton Benjamin. And sorry, MVP, you were close. You were close. But for my liking, you know what? I'm wrong in that. Kofi, you out of there. Give me MVP. MVP, that's Sheldon, funny. Cena, and Eddie Guerrero.
Mine is pretty much similar to yours. It's Eddie Guerrero, John Cena. I'm actually going to leave Kofi Kingston in, and I'm leaving MVP in.
Okay, you're taking out Sheldon for that.
Yeah, I'm taking out Sheldon. Because here's the thing. I think to me, I think Sheldon had better runs as Intercontinental Champion than U.S. Champion.
Okay.
But either way, both were really good. I just think the better runs were his.
I think, have we had the same Mount Rushmore before? Once?
I have. Yeah, I think maybe the
once
the NWA U.S. Championship.
Well, this is going to be the second one. I have to agree with you. I'm putting Kofi back in. That because yeah. I'm thinking, especially because I threw MVP in, because that WrestleMania, when he went against Cena and he had the live band playing for him, was that
for
MVP? Wasn't that WrestleMania 27 in Orlando?
No, but I think what you're thinking of with MVP, because the one for WrestleMania that he really had for the U.S. Championship for MVP.
No, I'm thinking about that was the Money in the Bank that he came out with. But I still remember MVP's run. Sorry, fellas.
Yeah, MVP. I do think, though, when MVP fought Benoit at Mania 23, I think that was when they should have pulled the trigger on MVP winning it, because they had MVP win it the next month.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should have won it then. And that's just me. I think they could have pulled the trigger. I think Benoit at that time was at a high enough stature in the company.
I'm looking at these numbers, Corey. Shelton Benjamin, 240. 240 days of that belt.
Yeah, but I think his Intercontinental runs were better. That's just me. Because that U.S. run was what? 06, 07?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I love you, Kofi. I got to keep the gold standard back in there. I'm going back with the gold standard, taking Kofi out. Nothing against you. Like we always say, you can't go wrong in this program. But I got to put it in my words for the Sheldon Benjamin's run to me. I loved it. I did. I just liked how he looked with it. out here looking like Ernest the Cat Miller. You know he looked like Ernest the Cat Miller a couple of times. Friend in the program. But again, I love this belt. I love this U.S. title. I love the new U.S. title. I don't think there's been a U.S. title that I do not like, per se. That's not true. We talked about the one that Ric Flair had. They just had the classic one. It just had the picture of the United States. And it was just a belt. That was an ugly title, but that was the 70s. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say. That was the 70s.
Yeah, but other than that, I like every U.S. title from the spinner to the current one that who really is the champion? Mm-hmm. Apollo Crews is the U.S. champion, but MVP says not so fast. All right, so we're going to find out.
That's going to be funny Sunday. I wonder how they're going to do.
It's her business.
What's crazy is that, you know, although it kind of diminishes, to me, it kind of diminishes Crews' run.
Okay.
I say you give it to MVP.
I do too.
I really do. It's just something about it right now with the momentum that Lashley has.
Yep.
The momentum that group of those two have in general, I think you put the United States Championship on him.
You finally gave him a name yesterday by calling him the Hurt Business.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And like you said, with the momentum of Lashley, how does that look? Well, I'm the booker, so to speak, right? I'm just an advisor, but I'm a champion, right? Something like you said says about that and that. And again, nothing against Apollo. I actually like Apollo. Okay, but I also think Apollo should, you know, they should mix Apollo in with them. And I think that makes Apollo a bigger guy. Okay, but with that being said, guys, we're going to get out of here from episode 10. Corey, as always, they can find you where? Because I don't want to mess it up, which I haven't been in the last 3 weeks.
You haven't been messing it up at all. My kicks are my fix, so you're good.
There it is. And at Mike Knox, you can see that below, our names below. And with that being said, guys, listen, get yourself a U.S. title. I don't care which one you get. Get you one, all right? You got to get one. Corey, which one you got? You got the NWA one, right?
No, I have the spinner.
You have the spinner. I have the spinner. I don't think I've ever seen you with the spinner on.
There's a lot of stuff people haven't seen you with.
Man, I've seen you with a lot of belts. Huh? So, okay, so I got to start getting like you and get smart. These are the belts you're going to see. These are the belts I'm going to take a picture with. So you're learning something, people. You're learning. Do not wake up tomorrow morning, everybody, and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love title belts. We out here, y'all. Peace. I love this show.